So yeah, it's new and shaken with you. It's been a very odd, weird summer.
Has it?
It has. At least for me. I don't know. Like, especially the heat. I can't take the damn heat. But
the heat.
My God, the heat.
then get out of the street. Is that the expression?
If you can't, yeah, it's if you can't, that's something. I don't know.
Cook an egg on that street.
Cook an egg on that street. You just fry it right up on the hood of your car there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole idea of passive entertainment versus active entertainment, people always bring that one up to me. And I've always thought it was like an interesting justification for what people put in those categories and how they separate it. I've always found that line to be rather blurry, personally, but...
is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Do we put that on the docket for today?
I got cheesecake recipes.
Ah, damn it.
on the docket today. What's better?
We can talk about that. That's cool.
Chocolate tuxedo or strawberries? That's what I got. Yeah.
I just have one of those Cheesecake Factory menu. Just start rattling them off because they have like 5,000 flavors.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, go ahead. You were, I have a notepad, but it's blank. So
it's all cheesecake recipes.
It's all just cheesecake recipes or cookie recipes.
Ooh, well, what kind of cookies?
Chocolate chip cookies, snickerdoodles.
Sold. Sold. You hit two of my favorites right out of the gate. Sold.
Peanut butter blossoms, double chocolate chunk. Oh, macadamia nut and white chocolate.
Macadamia nut and white chocolate in one cookie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
There's garbage M&M cookies, garbage cookies. Yeah. Garbage cookies, an interesting one.
Yeah. Just throw it all in there.
Oh, yeah. It's basically just chocolate chip, white chocolate. It's like all the toppings just
all
thrown
the
into one. Yeah. All the it's just all of it. You get all of it. So it's, you know, it's a lot.
It comes
it's definitely
with the site.
A heavier cookie. Yes. It's a, but I digress. Get us back on track here.
There's never a track. You've been in this as long as I have. There's never a track. But yeah, so this idea of passive versus active entertainment. You know, I've met a lot of people who will just throw things on and then they're nose deep in an iPad for the duration of whatever they're, you know, engaged in, and they can deal with it just like listening to it like an audio show totally in the background. And I, you know, even for stuff like I'm even like the most lukewarm engaged with, I still need to like actually watch it. I can't split my focus like that unless it's something like Seinfeld that I've seen a billion times and can literally just put it on in the background because I have like most of the lines memorized as it is. But, you know, passive entertainment is an interesting one because I think for me personally, it is very much like the things that are just so faded into the background that I have seen 50 billion times over, you know, that just do really totally just wade in the background. I can totally ignore it and just is kind of like a buffer for me to do whatever other thing. The only other thing I was going to add is the only other form of that I can kind of do that with are like certain levels of audio entertainment, like certain podcasts and stuff, I can do that with. But for the most part, it needs to be something I've seen like 50 billion times.
So just so I'm even clear on this one, when you're saying passive, you're talking something that you've seen so often that it just becomes almost just like background noise or just something you put on.
Well, some people too will do that with certain comedies. Like I know people who haven't seen all of The Office or shows like Parks and Rec, you know, they can put those on and not really fully pay attention to them because they're somewhat episodic. You know, I feel like the network level TV, a lot of that kind of fades into that form of entertainment. Uh-huh. There's various types of these things, but you know, I personally, I'm most of the time I'm actively watching whatever it is I'm watching. And I feel like a lot of people don't engage with certain entertainment that way. And that's, you know, totally fine. But I find the distinction interesting.
How about this to like sort of let's like mark the goalposts for the delineation here. So Seinfeld or The Office, you said, is more... Would you put that in the passive category?
Well, so like even for some people, I know for some people this is not, you know, like a distinct line to draw. For some people, it's like a bulk of entertainment is passive. You know,
well, yeah, but let just to like, you know, just give a few examples here so we can like
look at the difference. Like network TV comedy. A lot of times, like anything that's episodic and people, you know, don't have that direct narrative engagement extending over like long arcs with like seasons of TV where every season is it's kind of its own story.
Okay, so episodic versus serial is kind
of yeah. I mean, what and like I said, it's not always that clear cut for everybody. That there's not like a clear line in the sand.
No, it doesn't have. We're not saying we're not saying that. There. Well, no, there doesn't have to be, but for the sake of argument, we're gonna draw a line.
Yeah, you know, that's how I define it. May not be how somebody else does. That's where my like my hesitance to you know define it is.
But. Damn it, George, swear. Okay.
Damn it, George, swear.
Okay, so yeah, it's not from what you're saying. The active and the passive voice, mm-hmm. the passive voice, I'm sorry, the active and passive, it sounds like you're looking at it like passive tends to be more in the episodic realm. Like I'm doing like kind of a rewatch through of the old SpongeBob cartoons.
Yeah.
And those are very episodic. Like you don't need to.
Each one is its own island.
Yeah. And most cartoons, at least from like our childhood era, were definitely the character, like, you know, something would happen, whatever the end result of that episode was, it's like the button is reset each episode, you know. There's no ongoing consequences between each episode.
Well, interestingly enough, I listen to the guys who do It's Always Sunny. They have their own podcast and they talk about a lot the cartoon Looney Tunes nature of coming up with the idea of the show is like, how cartoonish do we want to get with this, like, cause like there are episodes where like they break bones and have like situations that would have for any normal human being like long standing implications.
Yes.
And they talk about that a lot. And I've always found that interesting about like looking at it from like an outsider's perspective to that show is like, there is an element of like Looney Tunes and cartoonishness to it. And it's, they do kind of just throw caution to the wind in terms of like the implications for the characters. Cause if they grounded them in any kind of reality, they wouldn't be as followable week to week. They like, if they ever had to deal with the real ramifications of their actions, they would be truly reprehensible people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. All the things they've done. I mean, they'd have been either dead or in jail at this point.
Yeah, like long ago.
I would imagine.
Like think of some of my favorite episodes of that show are like the courtroom dramas or like the simulated courtroom dramas, and it's like them just trying to fit into any kind of rational society are always just like the funniest material.
Or at the very least, Patty's Pub, their bar would have been shut down ages ago and bought out by someone else.
Yeah, or they definitely would have not gotten an award.
Yeah, absolutely.
For best song.
Okay, so we're kind of looking here at what would you classify, what's like your go-to active example?
So I go to like the hardest example I can think of is like a movie that encapsulates me that I need to peer behind the veil, and then I end up doing mountains of research after the fact. Like it's like just the experience of watching said piece of entertainment is just the tip of the iceberg. It like goes so much deeper beyond that that I end up with composition books full of stupid notes, and just no sane human being would ever dive this deep into that material. That's like my pinnacle form of active entertainment, where it's like it lives with me for months beyond the fact.
So does it have to be a movie or
no? It could be anything. It could be a book, could be a graphic novel. Yeah, especially like pretty much any video game I pick up at this point that I finish, that I take the initiative to actually follow through to its finish line. It's engaged me up to that point. It's pretty much in that category.
Yeah. So would you?
There's a lot.
So Dark would be a very active.
Yes. Dark would be probably near the top of that category for me.
Yeah. Okay. So when we're talking, what made you, because when you said passive versus active for this, at first I thought maybe, does he mean passive or active voice? So this was an interesting.
So yeah, like that's the other interesting thing is because those terms are used for so many different things. I was looking at it purely with like how people consume entertainment.
How people consume it. Okay. So more of how deep do they go, or how far do they take something like,
or a viewer's perspective, it's like how deep does your engagement go? Is it just something that you throw on? Is it just happens to be on TV and you're barely even paying attention to it? Or is it, you know, you're sitting in front of it with Charlie and you're mapping out Pepe Sylvia.
You are now the head of a cult that worships this show.
Exactly.
Pepe Sylvia.
And I've seen it. I got boxes of Pepe. Care. I've been knocking on a door. Care. That moment is just, it is so... so identifiable.
Ingrained in. Okay, so that's an interesting thing to look at? Like, I mean, do you think one is better or worse off than the other?
No, I mean, like, you know, obviously entertainment is there as an escape, and to whatever degree you take that, or that whatever that means for you as an individual, can be a vast array of things. You know, it's just,
do you, I guess I should ask, rather I should have said, do you prefer one over the other more than
it depends,
you tend to find yourself enjoying the deep dives or the just sort of the shallow lazy river kind of float down, you know?
Depends. Honestly, it's I have purposes for both. You know, like if I'm actively doing something and I need something just kind of lightly distracting me in the background, that's what passive entertainment is there for. It's just as a light distraction and a light kind of take your brain a little bit out of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And whereas active entertainment is, I need to fully consume my brain with some insanity and dive into something that nobody else would dare.
Okay, so it's a matter of the challenge too that the creator, the author is giving you with whatever they've presented.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, that I don't want to say like it leads to any depth of intrigue for any piece of entertainment, but, you know, certain things do capture you more and want to hold your interest a lot more long-standing after the fact of your initial engagement with it. And, you know, those crazy like Pepe Sevilla level deep dives do occur, at least for people as stupid as me. You know, after the fact, you want to dive in with a million notes or whatever, you know, or like look into something. Like there are movies that have, you know, plot structures that engage you after the fact. You think about it and then you kind of envelop certain things that were more under the surface than you thought initially, and you go back to it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of thrillers have that, like where there's things under the surface that you didn't catch around the first time, and then you think about it a little bit more, you come back to it, and you're like, well, maybe that was the intention there.
Now, do you consider like lore research part of that active like deep dive, or is that kind of
1000% like, okay. Absolute active entertainment. This is entirely like conjecture, like there's no books written on this.
We're getting your idea, your perspective, your thesis.
Yeah, this is like fringe level.
Sorry, man, stake out your territory here.
No,
that's the point. You gotta pick something.
Gotta pick a lane here.
pick a lane here. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I am grasping, and I think I'm starting to get it here.
Yeah,
a bit of your
it's one man's interpretation. You know, it can be a lot of different things. This is just how I've always seen it. Like there's like it's like a spectrum of engagement for how deep as a consumer of entertainment you would get into. You know, like there's, like we said, like there's the, a lot of the times it's like the daytime comedies, the even some of like the 8 p.m. dramas. Like I know, like maybe this is hardcore like dating myself into like the days of entertainment, but like, you know, like the 8 p.m. dramas that would come on, like there was always stuff like How to Get Away with Murder or like Desperate Housewives, like those kinds of shows that like they go on for X amount of years, and it's they hold a captive audience for that long, and people get on that ride, and then they fall. They're there every whatever Thursday or Wednesday night at 8 p.m. when it's on.
Yeah. Which is there even a show like that still now in term, like, I guess
there's tons of them. I know a lot of people are still on, I don't even know if it's still on, but on the train of Nathan Fillion's The Rookie. There's a lot of cop shows. There's the Chicago Med, the Chicago PD, like all those shows.
Well, yeah. And I feel like the procedural has been around I mean, it's the perfect formula, the framework for a TV show when you constantly have to crank out, you know, 45 minute episodes every week. Well, not every week, but for what, a 12 to 24 week span.
Yeah. And it, like, a lot of the times it is like that long of a span. Like, you know, you got them for that whole hour, but then on top of that, like, you know, a lot of drama, like the Netflix shows and stuff, like they'll run like 13 episode seasons, like 8 to 13 episode seasons, depending. They're typically on the shorter side compared to like these network shows, which will run for sometimes 23, 26 episode seasons, you know, and then that, like they'll really hold people like through an entire season of the year, you know, week yeah. to week.
I'm just trying to think. So looking at what you've said, I'm thinking that at the moment, there seems to be a lot more passive entertainment. And I'm kind of taking this a little bit further. Maybe this isn't what you're intending, but do you consider things like social media form of this passive?
See, that's like opening an entire other category of this.
Because, I mean, I would say that would be the far, like, final end of passive entertainment, because
yeah,
and that's probably some
they hold you for 15 seconds and you're out,
yeah, and then that's it, and there's like nothing beyond, depending on what the subject is. Now if you're like watching something that's like, you know, if you're watching something on YouTube that's like a 20 minute video on, you know, how to carve a masterpiece out of wood or like an ice sculpture or how to build a retaining wall or something scientific or historical, I would say there's more of an active participation there.
Yeah.
For something. So it does depend a little bit on the subject matter, but I would say the majority of social media tends to be a lot more passive.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like over the last few years, they've kind of bridged that gap a little bit, whereas like YouTube started pulling some weird stuff with like monetization of like you had to have, I remember there was like a certain point where YouTube was like only ever up to like 10 minutes. I remember like there were longer videos.
Oh yeah. You couldn't go. Yeah. You had to do like separate videos. Yeah.
There were longer videos out there, but it was like for the most part, like nobody made videos longer than 10 minutes because it was like the thought process was you can't engage anybody that long because they're just going to go over to TV if they're going to watch something that long.
Yeah.
But it's like they've shifted that by like intentionally only monetizing videos longer than a certain point because I feel like they've gotten that engagement and they were pushing themselves to that certain point of longer form content. Because I think it was the rise of like TikTok, the rise of Instagram Reels, all that kind of stuff. The more short form content was grabbing that type of ground,
yeah,
and now they're pushing themselves up to a higher level. It's very
I mean, I watch a lot of with YouTube. I tend to on YouTube I watch much longer videos than you would on like an Instagram or TikTok or what's the other one? I'm forgetting. Isn't there another one? I'm sure there's another one.
Twitter is technically still video capable now,
or X as anyway. It's whatever it's called now.
Something.
No, that's a good point because I do remember the days in the early days of YouTube when you couldn't have a video over a certain amount of time and in order for them to get around that, they would just break it up into parts.
Yeah.
I can remember like one of our favorite mutual channels, Red Letter Media, their Star Wars reviews, they had to break them up into like, you know, part one, part two, whatever, because you couldn't have it. The whole review was well over an hour.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have anything longer than, like you said, the 10 minutes. So it had to be in those parts. But now I think you can have stuff well over the hour mark. I don't even know. Is there a limit anymore on YouTube?
I don't think so. I've seen like, you know, ambience, I mean, compilations over like 10 hours. So
yeah, I mean, you can get like whole movies on YouTube at this point.
Yeah. I remember there was a phase of time where YouTubers for a while, like while they were like adjusting to that gap, like they would do like quote unquote meme reviews, like various forms of that were like their thing, is like they would just go on Reddit and like look at like endless piles of memes to fill 10 minutes worth of content because that was the only way they could get monetization.
Yeah.
So it was like they were just filling time to fill time a lot of the cases, but people were showing up and watching them because it was, you know, the YouTuber that they watch. That's getting into like a weird meta thing of like, you know, their viewers like passively watching their stuff as they're like passively creating. You know, it's like it's weird compilation of all of that, but I do think there's something to like that level of engagement. And I think like now that you bring up, there's like the whole social media angle to it too. Like there's a lot to this. Like it's like, and I feel like, you know, in a lot of cases, people are getting more and more dejected and less engaged with the material, not doing as much research or studying. We always bring up the fact, you know, that you and I, we joke about, you know, how much we research certain topics and things, but you know, we do a fair amount of looking into the topics that we cover and making sure, you know, our information is accurate and stuff. And I feel like audiences are more and more getting more dejected and less engaged with certain things. And I find that delineation interesting.
Well, yeah. And it's also too, I notice a lot of things that I'll see on, if we're just talking about online content, not even that, no, in like certain, across all like mediums, you know, that have any creative mediums, I'll see like movies, books, TV shows, certainly social media. Remember, we always talk about the cliche, right?
Yeah. And which is a big one.
Yeah. And that just seems to, like, it gets to the point where it doesn't even, the original intent of the device in the story is gone. It doesn't, its original purpose is no longer there. People are now just doing it to do it.
When you consider the, just the mass level of quantity of content that exists, yeah. It's like, how do you yeah. ever possibly have an original thought anymore? Because it's just a floodgate coming
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And it's like, well, an old one, a classic older one that I can think of when we look at film or like music videos yeah. back in like the 90s, I can remember one of the big cliches was to have rain in your video or in your film.
Yeah.
It didn't matter when, didn't like, we just got to put rain in there. And you go back to like the earlier, let's say classic movies and stuff like that. There was a purpose to why they were putting the rain in there. It wasn't just there just to be there.
Yeah.
When you think like probably one of the biggest, you know, Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly, like there's a reason why they did that. And then you look at like years later, people just, oh, we got to have rain because it worked in this one. So let's just do it. You know, that's why. Or a more recent example I could say would be how Marvel started the whole universe movie, the cinematic universe idea yeah. of let's have the movies meet up with each other and have it happen across this. And then
the old team everyone, up, as it were.
Yeah. And then all the other two is like, oh, this is popular. We got to do it. So you have DC throws their thing in. Universal tried the monster thing that went kaput before it even got out the gate.
Yeah.
And that...
And then you have it get to a meta point with stuff like The Boys, where they're literally poking fun at the entire yeah. concept of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I have to, if I'm picking a line, if I'm putting a line in the sand here, I think I'm going to have to lean a little bit more toward the active side. And
yeah.
and that's not to say things like Seinfeld or Always Sunny or even SpongeBob that I mentioned before, for that matter, necessarily aren't active in some ways. Because if you think about how what makes them so good is because of what's going on underneath the surface of some of the episodes.
Yeah.
We
you have like that more overarching theme, and it's not just, yeah. you know, boom in and out
yeah.
one episode at a time. The nice thing about the boom in and out is, you know, you can kind of go in for two or three episodes, make an evening of it, or you can just do that one episode mm-hmm. and be done. That's yeah. the advantage of the more passive form.
Yeah. That entertainment, you don't have to,
you know, you really have actually more of a level of control where that's concerned, because the more active entertainment, you're kind of at the mercy of how deep that's going to pull you in.
Yeah. No, you certainly don't have to rack or break your brain over, you know, a more passive form.
Yeah.
I guess I look at it as, well, I was going back to that whole cliche thing, is like how many times, you know, like how you can like take the audio of someone else's TikTok or an Instagram and then remix it into your own. And
that is like a big thing now, is just like taking other people's content. Yeah,
taking
and riffing
people,
it.
Like, you know, and it make, here's an analogy, and this is maybe a bit of a dark analogy, but I'm going to say it anyway. So bananas. Do you like bananas?
I love bananas.
Okay. I love bananas too. Do you peanut butter with the bananas?
I'm just like a straight out of the peel. There it is.
Straight out of the peel? You don't dress it up?
Nope. And like, nothing? You know, maybe a Sunday situation, but barring
ooh,
that, you know.
Banana split?
Yeah.
They always got to get a good banana split. It's tough to find.
It you know is tough a good to find. One? It's a rarity in these days.
There's a place, I think it's Cavlin's, down in the Strip District,
ooh,
I want to say.
Not heard of this.
Yeah, definitely. Old ice cream shop. I highly recommend it if they still have the banana split. I'm assuming they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely, if you ever get a chance, give that a try.
Interesting.
But yes, so my banana thing here is, so genetically, all the bananas we eat are clones of each other, or so I've seen or been told.
Interesting.
They are genetically clones. And it's in fact not, we use, I think it's called the Cavendish banana.
I've heard of that one before.
Let me look up, or that might be the one. Yes. Yeah. Belonging to the Cavendish subgroup.
It's like a subspecies.
Well, yeah. And then like, that's what we've cultivated, and that's what we continue to use today. Anyway, yeah, they count around for 99% of banana exports to developed countries. And what I'm getting at here is they are all now subject to a fungus known as Panama disease. Yeah, a fungal disease known as Panama disease. And because of this, there's a risk of extinction of this particular variety. And this actually happened before, because the Cavendish species was not what we normally, like I think back in the 50s, before that, and like maybe even like right after World War II, there was a whole nother banana that was sweeter than the ones we eat now. that suffered a similar fate.
Interesting.
And it's gone now. We don't have it. We have the Cavendish. So because of this fungal disease and because they're all genetically the same, that, you know, that genetic diversity is gone. It doesn't have the ability to fight off the disease. So my long-winded banana analogy here is like, I look at that when I think of, when it comes to a creative aspect, you know, when we talk about passive or active, mm-hmm. and you get people doing the cliches, doing the same, just taking something someone else did and remixing it.
They become genetic clones
in a sense, but like, does it, is this why sometimes it can be so hard to find, you know, to really find something you fall in love with and get hooked? I've noticed lately, and now credit, we're older now, so we've been exposed to more things.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not, you know, it's when you're younger, you're learning something new almost every day. You're getting new experiences. And as you get older, you know, you've experienced a lot of stuff. So it's harder to find those genuinely, you know, new things unless you're like trying something for the first time, like snowmobiling, skydiving, or robbing a bank. Don't rob.
How many banks have you been around?
I don't know. not many, because I still don't have any money. But I wonder about that. Like, I think that's one of the things that turns me off sometimes about certain things like Instagram or social media, because I'm like, it takes like the context out, or like sometimes I'll watch like people doing like reviews sometimes, or like watch me watch this thing, like watch reactionary watches to like movies or certain things that I'm just like, damn it, I can't do this because I've seen these so many times. I think I mentioned it too, how certain things are more known now for their memes or their social media counterparts than they are for the actual thing that had happened. One that's just coming to mind is like, Are You Not Entertained from Gladiator.
Yeah.
You know, that's
which
just,
now
that's
we're getting another Gladiator.
Yeah, we're getting another Gladiator because of that. But I feel like, did anyone, because of that, do they know where it came from in the original Gladiator movie with Russell Crowe from 2000? And do they get what's happening in that scene? Like what he actually is saying to the crowd when he shouts, after he throws the sword and he's just killed everybody, he's like, Are you not entertained? Like, the original meaning behind it, I feel, gets lost. And that is sometimes where I worry about like passive entertainment sometimes, if there's maybe too much of it, or we're just not, I don't know, we're not being as not championing. Yeah. Anyway, as many active, we're not, you know, we're not getting behind more active works. I don't know. I know I'm on a soapbox here. I'll get off.
I'm in for it. Yeah.
Like I said,
find it,
I'm more on the active side. I'm more for, even if it's just like, you know, even if it's just something simple, or like, you know, tongue in cheek, like I said, like the SpongeBob episodes, there's some, you look at those original ones, there's a lot of good things like happening. Like, they're still funny to me to this day, at least the original first couple original seasons.
Yeah. Well, me personally, as somebody who loves to research things, I'm obviously in that camp as well. I love to dig in. I love stuff that challenges you and really makes you work up in the entirety of a composition notebook to try and decode it. Like, that's my forte. But at the same time, I recognize that more passive form of entertainment are way more interesting to groups of people, and definitely by that token, like, obviously not everybody loves to dig in and like get crazy deep with something. Yeah. Like, they just want to get surface value jokes and laughs out of it, and that's it. And that stuff has the more social angle. Like, obviously I have had more conversations about things like Seinfeld, like Parks and Rec, like The Office, those like short form episodic shows that have gotten great laughs out of people. I have had probably more conversations about that stuff because more people are interested in that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's like kind of going off more of what I was saying. I still would put, even though they're episodic, I still would put things like The Office and Seinfeld and Always Sunny, like All in the Family, you know, older shows like that, I still would put them more in an active for me.
Yeah.
Because like I just saw not too long ago, just today, I saw the episode of The Office where, I forget the title, but Michael is called to, the corporate sends him a limo.
Yeah.
Essentially, Dunder Mifflin is going under. And he like calls Oscar in to, and they kind of used like their branch, the Scranton branch is the only branch that's working. But that episode, apart from all, like a lot of the humor of that is the awkwardness of the real life situation, you know, and the,
yeah.
And the fact that they're going against like what you would not normally do in the office. Same with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that so many times, like how often I saw the one today where Kramer is mistaken for being, you know, mentally challenged by.
I love that. That one's so great.
You know, it's the Jimmy episode. You know, he refers to himself in third person the
yeah,
whole time.
Just that it takes one like with that Larry David mentality. It just like yeah. It's that one atypical like an abnormal element to a very normal situation.
Yeah, and George gets out of a problem at work with Steinbrenner because he starts using the third person. He's like, why would George steal from the Yankees?
Yeah,
like there's as past. I definitely I agree. Like I don't have to do a dark deep dive like I would.
Yeah,
or I don't have to do a Memento deep dive.
There, I see where you're getting at though. With like the grand scope of those shows, there are very like studyable deep level things yeah. in there for sure.
I don't have to do a Space Odyssey deep dive. You know these.
Yeah,
they're not as. They're not as demanding to the mind as like certain other things are like you know reading like War and Peace or the Brothers Karamazov stuff like if you're going into like the Russian novels
yeah.
you really got to think about what's happening but there is still I mean if I compare like those shows to like I said I'm not trying to trash on social media but I've lately become
I mean that's I, if anything is fan. If that's fair for I think it's fine for
like
social media
well yeah to me that is mostly surface level depending on the subject but a lot of it
oh it's 1,000% just, surface level
like that's it that's all you get so but I still see what you're trying to say is like you know it's definitely something you can put the passive stuff I tend to put more on the back if I just want it you know?
Well like too I said I to get into that like delineation just a little bit like I also put like all forms of podcasts on that too except for like some yeah. narrative things like
except for this one
no like I like I hope that like I have crafted something that you can put on the car and it will fade in the background a little bit
yeah.
like and maybe give you some thought-provoking elements to it but like
yeah
to get a little bit meta with it for a second like I do generally consider what we do a passive form of entertainment mm-hmm. like it's something that maybe gives you a few thought-provoking points but like for the most part we're not something that you know you
yeah
hopefully
we're certainly
don't
not
devote
to,
your entire life to decoding no. like so yeah like I do think that there is an interesting like obviously like we said like in our particular case like there is a difference there it's like it's not something that you're going to go in and dig well, apart every weird
no,
thought
not.
That the two of us have ever had. Like, but you
but
know,
there is, but yeah. And there is also,
there's like a little bit more to it.
Well, yeah, there is like a nourishment to some of that passive entertainment.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, like I said, I'll just, because that's what I'm watching now, just for that exact purpose, watching the old SpongeBob, you know, cartoons.
Yeah.
I find it nourishing or like, you know, soul nourishing in the sense and like, you know, almost like a refreshing hot tub, you know, dive or something, you know, something along those lines where I
you've been
I
diving what, in hot tubs.
Yeah. Don't you ever dive in a hot tub?
That's how you get swimmers here, man.
I had that once. And let me tell you,
it's not fun.
It's not. But
trying to pop,
yes,
pop that water out of there. It's the worst.
But no, there's definitely something with what you've mentioned, that passive entertainment. I almost feel like I need like a third thing here, you know, like
it's the triquetra, the third, yeah. the third angle of.
I need an alternate world here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that third alternate world. You got to have Tannhaus's, the clockmaker's, he's the answer. He's the key to all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, and like some of the stuff that we quote a lot, like, you know, something like Rush Hour.
Yeah.
I find
a lot of, like, there's a lot of movies that I would classify it. You know, people always say, like, the summer popcorn blockbuster. I find mm-hmm. a lot of quote-unquote summer popcorn blockbusters to be very passive entertainment. You go in,
yeah.
see it in the theater. Boom, that was a lot of fun. That was great, but I don't go back. I don't buy a copy of it. I don't go back and revisit it and study it unless the cases of ones, particular ones like speed or something like that really does stick with me over a long period of time. And I am going to pick it up and watch it again. There are exceptions to all that, but you know, there's various forms of this, and there's ones by that same token, ones that I will put on my shelf and pick up every so often and watch. There's ones that I see in the theater and I don't even think about it another time after walking out of it. So there's a difference. Like it's a razor thin difference, but it is a difference.
Well, and then if we're going to add to that, where would you put things like, I mean, obviously they are active, like a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're interactive, but they could be passive too if you're not, because like I used to watch like my brother and sister play the games way back in the day. I wasn't playing them, but I would watch them. So it was technically by the, you know, the bare bone definition of passive.
Yeah.
I'm just watching. So
like by this specific delineation, like obviously like there's a whole other layer beyond that of, like you said, interactive, where it's like video games by their very nature are quote unquote active form of entertainment. But it's like I look at it like this specific delineation by the title of this episode, like what is your level of engagement as a consumer with that piece of entertainment? Is this just something like you pick up off the shelf and, or you know, you just have on in the background, or is it something you're sitting there eyes glued to the TV, fully engaged, and it lives with you for a couple of days minimum after the fact?
Yeah, well,
like you're having conversations with it, you're talking about it, it's living in your mind, quote unquote, rent free, as some people will say.
Yes. So it's almost more of how much of an impact do these have on you, because I can think of like, you know, certain video, like we've talked about two of my favorites on here, Resident Evil and Tomb Raider. I still will occasionally play them, or, you know, look up stuff on them. Games like Elder Scrolls, Zelda, you know, those are ones.
I'm still actively playing Zelda. Like I love Zelda.
So it's, I mean, it kind of like, is the question more the impact that it has to decide whether it's active or more of a, you know, I guess literally like a passerby type, like you said, like, yeah, I'll see it. I might not see it again, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's many layers of that. There's many layers of that for the many different forms of entertainment that there are. Like we dove into social media and how that's got all its layers. And there's, you know, we've discussed in the past, like with Christina, with Twitch, you really only have the one opportunity to view it because it's a live experience. It doesn't you can't pick it up and watch it again. You know, so that in and of itself is like, how do you classify that with this all as well?
Like, well, that's weird, because I feel like you are active. Well, I mean, because it's live,
you have no choice, because if you don't pay attention, it's, you can't rewind it and go back. It's like it's gone.
Yeah, but it is also passive in the sense that you're just kind of like,
it's like when I watch Twitch, I pretty much just put it in the top window and it's like there in the background of when I'm doing something else.
It's just you're kind of like hanging out with someone almost, and they're, while they're just, you know, it's noise to, like I admit I watched a lot of it during the pandemic because it just felt like someone else was here with me. I wasn't by myself completely.
Yeah.
As terrible, as pathetic as that sounds, but it was just nice to have like, oh, I got a live person.
Well, honestly, that is relatable. I mean, we were all pretty isolated during that time. I mean, you know, you're not alone in that.
Oh, shut up. Anyway. But yeah, no, that's interesting, because that one's an interesting case study, because you're encouraged. It's encouraging you to be more active and, like, you know, enter the fray that is the chat room of Twitch.
But weirdly enough, it like becomes the most passive form of it.
Yes, it becomes very passive, though.
It's like it's kind of like both polar ends of that spectrum in a weird
way. Yeah. No, definitely an interesting concept here.
Yeah, it's like, it's one that's like kind of ruminated in the back of my head. I've thought about it for a long time. It's like there is like a clear, like, I don't even know clear, but like, you know, a quantifiable spectrum of how we engage with these things that we get either so obsessed with or just like have a footnote in some form throughout the duration of our whole day, you know, as we, you know, be it a podcast, be it whatever, like, you know, I've definitely, like, for instance, I brought up the It's Always Sunny podcast. I had like weeks on end. I just dove into that show and like, I had it on in the background, you know, through commuting to work or coming home from work or, you know, completing a task, you know, it just, and then the thing just like stays with you all day, but then it's like mountains of nothing, because it's just like B parts of like these episodes and little anecdotes, like Charlie Kelly talking about the jar of teeth from Danny DeVito on set, like, you know, just mountains of nothing to just like fill the void in a lot of ways, like for stuff like that, where it's just like
much like the I was just gonna say, much like the one episode where Charlie and Frank are getting stuff from the dump, and they just put so much in the room that they have to sleep outside on the street because they can't sleep in the apartment anymore.
Exactly. And like, you know, so in the complete other end of the spectrum, you know, you find something like Dark, and then you completely just spend years of your life taking notes on this stupid show.
It is
kind of nuts, like the dichotomy of like how deep you can get with something or how flippant it can be as part of, like, you know, your day.
Well, it definitely, I would say, if we were to create an equation for this, you know, activeness, if we say A equals the amount of impact, the amount of impact that a certain work has on you, and maybe the level of engagement that it demands too from you. You know, it's tough to say. Like I said, a lot of stuff on social media does not demand, like, some of it can just, you know, just mindlessly scrolling away.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like that ever necessarily demands a lot of engagement from you, and the majority of that does not impact me. Now, certain ones have been funny that they've stuck with me. I know we like, you know, there'll be ones that we still talk about, like Uvujavr.
Uvujavr was still one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life. I never went to Uvujavr. Yeah, it's just incredible.
But yeah, and then other like shows, the activeness value, I think, would go up. Certain shows definitely demand more level of engagement.
Yeah.
And then things like, you know, for me, like Lord of the Rings is like top of the activeness scale for me. But you could also agree that the stories of that are very simple. I mean, at least in the cinematic sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It is interesting. It's, you know, like it I don't know if it is 100% quantifiable, but...
No, I mean, I don't think it is.
It's thought-provoking to think about.
Just trying to figure out if we could do it is sort of the nature of the episode here.
Yeah.
Like, is it possible? What are some of the shortcomings or things that we're missing?
Like, I've had certain episodes we've tried like this before, like memetics and stuff. It's not, like, totally quantifiable, but I'm going to take a stab at trying to get some conversation going on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing to take a look at. You know, we spend how much time, you know, devoted to, you know, obsessing over whatever these little things are. And everybody has their shows, everybody has their movies they like, you know, their books, their video games, whatever it is. And, you know, if we're going to spend that much time, I think it's worth at least, you know, taking a little bit of a fine tooth comb, picking through them. Well, how much of a spectrum is there between like the levels in which we engage with these things? And I don't think it's hurtful to, you know, shine a bit of a light on.
No. Well, and I forgot to mention books as well. I mean, those are a very active medium of art. I mean, cause you have to read it.
Like, if you're going to commit to, like, in this day and age of like going through and actually like reading through an entire book, like, I know for me anymore, it's like, I have to have a lot of interest in a book to really commit to reading the entirety.
Oh yeah, because you have to do the work, essentially, because what you're doing is essentially what a computer does to a website. It's taking the code and creating the website, the browser. That's what books are. Like, a book is an encoded story using words, and the words are then, you read the words and then you create the image in your mind. So there is a sense of work involved through that when you're reading. And, you know, that is definitely an active, from my opinion, more active form.
Absolutely. Like, it takes a level of commitment to get on that. And, you know, for that, you know, when you do, you have such a more intimate level of engagement between author and audience.
Yeah.
In that sense, so that in a way that no other medium really has, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting. And there's a lot of layers to it, and a lot of layers to all forms of entertainment. Obviously, that's a very broad stroke sweeping glance at all of this. But, you know, I find stupid things like that interesting. And I find, you know, how, like, in any way you look at how people engage with entertainment, I think that there's a lot of layers to picking that apart, and how, you know, obviously, you know, that's both going into the avenues of writing and the avenues of production. That's something that's really captivated both of us. So, you know, I think there's a lot there to be dug apart, and I, you know, could go off on weird nonsensical topics like this for hours.
Yeah. No. It's definitely definitely thought-provoking the more you get into it.
Yeah. You know, you're sitting in front of it with Charlie, it, and you're mapping now, out Pepe Sylvia.
You are now the you are now the head of a cult
yes.
that worships this show.